Welcome to Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. This is an interview-based podcast where I have conversations with some of the most creative and interesting people in the horse world. Okay, today I'd like to welcome Anna Twinney, an animal communicator. I was going to say horse communicator, but you also communicate with all species. And I'm pretty excited to talk to you today, Anna. Welcome.
Hi, Paula. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, it would be right. Either I can come under horse whisperer or animal communicator, but either way, when we're looking at the animal communication, it's all species, and it includes not just the furry ones, but also the reptiles and the feathered ones.
Ew. Good for you. Well, I guess that would be quite beneficial to cities or places where they've got a loose wild animal, like a snake. I'm thinking about that on the loose.
Well, you never know, right? The lost animals are a little bit harder to communicate with because they are lost and they can be distressed. So it's a little bit more challenging. But as a whole, communicating with all species would be pretty much the same. It's not species specific that you would say there's a challenge on somebody. It can be on their personality or on their loyalty or how they're feeling at any one time if there's a challenge. But ultimately, in my whole career, I've pretty much communicated and connected with every animal. I've been asked to do all but one who happened to be a lost dog in a thunderstorm. That it was just a true challenge, be that she didn't want to connect. But other than that, we're looking at thousands of animals. And the time zone doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if they're sleeping or not. It doesn't make a difference, generally speaking, if they're playing or a little bit preoccupied. There's times I may ask that the horse, for example, is not in a lesson and being ridden, or maybe they're not totally consumed by eating because that could distract them. But other than that, the connection is pretty much possible.
Well, that makes sense. Now, have you ever been invited to help with someone, say, that has a human that has Alzheimer's that's lost?
With people, I have not been asked to help with people, although there is an intuitive piece that I have, and I bring it into all of my teachings. So if I'm teaching an animal communication class and, for example, I'm helping others connect, and I feel like that animal hasn't quite come through or there's something missing, it's pertinent information to their life, that's intuitive. And I'll pick that up and I'll be able to guide the student or indeed connect with the animal to ensure that we get what we are looking for and the communication's coming through. Also, if I'm connecting with animals, and this is a little bit more challenging for people to understand, there might be situations where somebody from the other side will come through. So I can certainly act as medium. I'm an intuitive, and on all of the classes, yes, there's information that you're going to pick up energetically, but I certainly would not put a shingle out there and say that I could connect with somebody with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking about that. That just came to mind. Yeah. Now, how did you get started in all of this?
Quite a while ago, and I'd love to say that it was something that came from my childhood. However, I was also guided to go into different directions in my life, and my life and my career started off in the UK. I know I've got a British accent, but I actually grew up in Germany, so when I returned to England, my career started there, and I went into investment banking in London. I was actually a PA and then assistant compliance officer. I moved from that role and that position into the Leicestershire Police Force, having served a little bit in the Essex Constabulary. And I served there until I was 28 years of age before I headed out to California. And I headed out to California to become a horse whisperer and in search of horse whispering. It's during my time at Flaggers Out Farms, which is Monty Roberts' home, that I truly discovered that there was more to the language of horses than purely body language. It became very, very clear the interaction between man and horse, and also the horse between horse, that yes, there's the flick of the ear and absolutely the whisper in the eye or the swish of the tail, but it went beyond that, where the horses had this intuition, this inner knowing of barometric pressure changes. Now, of course, that's in the environment, but you could also look at predators nearby. Now, was that smell? And for me, as you can hear just in this alone, there will be situations I'm going to discard and put to one side and even say, okay, that's not animal communication as we define it here today, which would be telepathic means from one mind to another. But what I did discover was that intuitively they knew far more than what we were doing or teaching them or showing them or interacting with them. And so I did look into it. I looked into it and thought, okay, there's more to this than meets the eye. And I began to study animal communication alongside energy healing. For me, it came pretty much hand in hand. And as I did that, the skills began to develop. And I saw more and more miracles and more like Dr. Doolittle. And so the movie and the Disney movie became real life, and it came to life. It was real. And that, for me, has always been magical in so many senses that you say, okay, this was not easy for me. I didn't grasp it easily. It didn't come to me easily. I had to work hard at it. I had to be in a place of acceptance and just being. But over the years and putting myself into situations, allowing myself to be studying, being truly surrounded by animals, particularly horses and dogs and some cats, and absorbing what they were willing to offer or what they're willing to show, allowed for that to open up more and more. So ultimately, Paula, what happens is when I was a horse whisperer, more and more detail came to light, and I began to realize that I need to explore it. I need to discover more to the language of the horse, and that's exactly what I did.
So when you were studying, what did you do to help yourself learn? Because it's not something that is easily found as a course.
No, you're right, and everybody is different. For those that have been listening, I came from probably an unconventional background. Many people might have been in the corporate world for 40 years before they decide that they want to talk to animals or even believe it's possible. It can be that they meet that midlife crisis, or they have a car accident, or their change of job, something like that that propels them forward, that they go, okay, I really don't want to go back to corporate America or corporate England anymore. And so there's a reason we fall into this. Now, everybody is different. There will be people that have grown up with the gift of talking to animals. There will be people that meditate a lot, do Pilates and do yoga, and find themselves already connecting to source or exceedingly intuitive. And there's going to be others that are more, I hate to use the left brain scenario anymore because it's shown that it's disproven, but there's more people in their mind or skeptical that would doubt this a little bit more, or truly need concrete proof as they move forward and they want to examine it, in effect research it a little bit more. Well, I was one of those people. And so to put me outside and say, okay, connect with this animal, I'm going to be skeptical enough to go, well, you know, I see they're loving, I can see they're relaxed, I can see they want to be with me. So is that animal communication? It's a form of animal communication because it's from one species to another, but it is reading the body language or reading their voice, their tone, their bark, their snarl, their purr. That's acknowledging that. That's come as a learned behavior, because as we grow older or as we meet animals, we begin to learn it's not good to touch the dog if his ears are back and his eyes are wide open or the tail is not moving. Not a good idea. You know, when the ears are back on a horse, teeth are baring or they're running at you, probably move out the way. We learn that with time. But with our animal communication, it's not like that. You're not observing the animal. You're not observing behavior. You're going inside. You're going inside to receive information. And so for me, that became a journey and a path of realizing how much mind chatter I have. That has never changed. That never changed. It's not like suddenly I've gone all zenned out. You can probably hear that in my tone too. You know, I wake up in the morning and then you go, oh no, my brain's awake. You know, I might not be awake, but my brain's awake. And then I'm downloading information. I'm doing checklists. I'm really, really busy. This time of year, particularly busy in closing a year and creating years and looking at project management before I go on the road. So my mind is super, super busy and very creative. So 15, 20 years later, I'm not the one that goes, hey, I just live in this world. I live between the worlds. And so that would mean finding a way to quieten the mind, finding that way. And again, you know, I often tell my students, I'm sure I'm not the one that's goes against the grain or swims upstream or isn't conforming, because I was in a uniform. There must have been a degree of conforming. But when I do look at myself, I'm not that normal person that you could just send off in a class or otherwise and say, can you get quiet? I don't know how to get quiet. And so that was a process in itself. And I don't just fit in that somebody could say, oh, go meditate and does that work for you? It doesn't necessarily work for me. So I had to find ways to accept who I am, which might mean looking at what I found wonderful and beautiful. I love walking my dogs. So walking my dogs and learning to quiet my mind as I walk my dogs, to breathe in nature and hear the sounds of the birds and watch the boys really loving what we're doing instead of thinking what's coming next. Absolutely, I can train my mind to quiet down. Look out the window, watch our horses on the acreage, loving them to be natural, or just standing by them and absorbing their essence. Those are things that allow me to be quiet, and they take me away from the norm. So the roundabout still remains round. It still remains very active, despite the fact that I've chosen a passion. I'm following my passion. It's still very, very active. So there's times that you jump out of that and say, okay, now I'm going to walk outside. I'm going to connect with the land, feel the silence, absorb the land's energy just to support me in realizing why we are truly here and what is this all about. And for me, that's exactly it. The animals become, in a way, I'm going to use this word loosely, but in a way, your church. Because for me, that's where it's very calm, very quiet, very connected, very tranquil, very peaceful. That's how I describe that. And then with the animal communication, what happens, you learn why you're here. You learn truths, Paula. You learn truths behind belief systems. So if somebody's told you a belief, in fact, what they show you is if that belief is true or not. They will show you. That comes out in animal communication. And I've already mentioned talking to animals on the other side. So if somebody's been brought up with a belief that that's not possible, the animals will show you it is. They'll show you there's life after death if that person's willing to move forward and try this out. Of course, if they're not, they'll never find out. But if they are, then they are opened up to a whole new world. And so that's phenomenal. When you open yourself up to animal communication, you open yourself up to see what this human experience is about. So those are some things that I did to discover this new world and to change my life entirely. I left the United Kingdom. I started from scratch. I left everything behind, everything I'd worked for. So the home, in fact, in those days, a husband, a horse, a dog. I left the security behind, everything, to start over. It's no different than starting over in when you lose something to a fire or a disaster or a divorce. I started over where my only possessions were that which I could fit into a suitcase, and started from scratch making a brand new life for myself. And that life was going to look very different. And so when I built it back up again, I was surrounded by horses in particular, and created what I call a voice for the voiceless. And I decided that I would fight for the underdog. And I decided that I'd give a voice to those that couldn't necessarily be seen, for those that needed to be heard when they're in pain and they're exercising it in a way that's not understandable. They're acting out in the house. You know, they've bitten somebody. Their life is at risk, or they want to transition. Here is an opportunity to give that voice to the voiceless. Here's an opportunity to speak up on their behalf. And that's exactly what I've been doing now. Since pretty much 2001, when I started the animal communication, and now I travel. You know, I travel the globe for those that cannot afford necessarily to come to the home, my home here in Colorado. So I try to get out there and take the message to those around the globe.
Mm-hmm. And so, wow, that's my response. Very interesting. Very interesting. What are you hearing from animals
What happens is everybody receives the information or the conversation in a very unique way. And part of learning animal communication is to learn your language. Now, the base of this is that it's a language of love. A good way to say is, if you live in a place of love, you can find the love for any species. You'll connect. The love becomes the conduit. That's how you transfer it, the emotion of love. So that's just beautiful. And if it were that simple, which it is, it's that simple to receive information and pass information along, and yet you still learn your language. So that's the conduit. Let's just look at that piece for a moment. So it's the emotion that allows the language to come back and forth. And if you just hold that language in your heart and in your hands, absolutely it will change everything. The way the animals see you, the way they want to interact and communicate with you, everything changes. But in order to truly receive the information, you're looking at the personal style. And that has to be shown. It's like a little veil has to be removed. And often you do need support through an educator or instructor coach to support you to say, okay, that is what animal communication is. Because we all possess it. It's innate to us. It is our birthright. And yet we have to discover it. So for me, there would be a difference between intuition. So if you're called down to the barn and you discover your horse colicking, you're called back home and your bird has fallen down in the cage or he's had a stroke, you intuitively know you have to get up in the night for something. All intuition, absolutely a form of animal communication, but it can go so much deeper. So when we talk about listening to the animals, for me, it will appear in a movie. It's like a little movie, but imagine like 1 to 5 seconds back-to-back movies, maybe even longer. I guess some of them can be 10, 20 seconds, but they're back-to-back movies. They're silent movies. How easy it would be if there were just voices in there, but it's a silent movie. So it's like turning on the TV and watching the screen, and then it's flicking through channels without anything that you can hear. So you get the essence from what you're seeing, plus you're describing what you're seeing. Now, as I developed this ability, more and more information would come in, and it would come in different ways. And again, this becomes your language. So words can appear. I can see words. There's a difference between the words just being written, if they're flashing or if they're capitals. I will hear things. It could be even a quote from somebody. I'll just hear a quote. It could be muffled or it could be clear. I might hear sounds like a siren or an airplane or dogs barking. It may be that I see colors or I can smell something. I've only really smelled something like 2-3 times in my career. So you put all of this together, you have the language. Again, if it were that easy, all we'd have to do is put words to this. But you've got to develop the skill to interpret. So sometimes I might just relay the information to say, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the cat lying on your chest. But that's what I'm seeing. It's even more beautiful if you were to perceive it and say, I'm perceiving that your cat adores you. His favorite place is lying on your chest, where he can feel your heartbeat and you breathe in unison together. He's really close to your face as he snuggles up to your neck. So there's a way to describe it, to actually put a perception on there. But you've got to learn to read the little movie to say, what does this mean to you? So that you're not making it up. But in fact, it's the honest truth, you know, as honest as we can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a messenger, you're not picking and choosing. So you don't suddenly see a scene and go, okay, I'll disregard that one, or that one's too emotional for me to share. I'm not sure I feel comfortable sharing this one. You really are in a place of trust. And with that place of trust comes the responsibility to convey the messages honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And that responsibility lies on your shoulders. There's so much to the animal communication, because we can improve the lives of the animals around us. We can improve our lives. We can get that deeper connection, that communication, compassion, and ultimately change a relationship. But it doesn't end there. That's just the very, very beginning. Because when you talk to animals, be it live and they're in your presence, so the dog could be at your feet or the cat could be on the sofa next to you, the horse in the paddock or the stool, these would be the live animals. You can certainly do that. And some of them will go to sleep. The majority go to sleep. And when the session's over, they give thanks, particularly dogs. They might lie to their side, you know, roll over. They could come and kiss you. They could just come and jump on your lap, say thank you. It's magical. Mm-hmm. And then with the long distance, you don't have that. There's the gap, you know. But the long distance is wonderful. You can get on the telephone, and I will have clients in Australia, New Zealand, Dubai, Singapore, Norway, Denmark, France, Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, England, Ireland, all over the world. They can call in, and I can connect with the animals, be it that they're on the phone or it's a transcript. But generally speaking, I ask people to be on the phone with me, because that way they're hearing directly from the animal and they have the chance to engage and interact.
Now, when you say they're on the phone, okay, are you saying you're asking the client to go out to the horse or be beside the cat or the dog at the time of the consultation?
Actually, no. My client has actually been in the past. She's been in Australia and the horse in Dubai, or the horse in Australia and the clients in England. We can make this a three-way, like a triangle of a conversation. So there's no need to take the phone and put it up next to the horse. There's no need for that. That is a common question. And if it's really, really cold, like Minnesota or Alaska, they don't have to go outside and sit in the snow or be in the rain and freezing fog. They can come into their homes and they can record the session. They can make notes, they can sit back and relax, and they can record the session. Mm-hmm. So whatever feels right to them, so that they actually get all of the information. Because there's so much that gets said. I speak fairly quickly when I do the sessions. There's so much information that gets relayed. How magical it is to make the notes. And some of my clients will have books of the notes, because I've communicated with their animals every 6 months or every year. And it's like it's become a little book and a reference. And what a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, what a gift that they can reflect on that.
Absolutely. So when you started this, I just wanted to go back. How many years have you been, you know, working, communicating with animals?
I started in 1997, okay, watching and studying horse behavior, mm-hmm, particularly. 1998, I did my Reiki attunement. And then I became a horse whisperer actually in 1998 and started to study that. So immersing myself into the life and language of the horse. In, I think it was about 2003, I took my Reiki Master. I've gone up to Karuna Reiki Master. And I've also been involved in other healing modalities, all supporting the animals and my self-development. When it came to the animal communication itself, I started studying that in 2001 and went professional in 2004. I averaged between 400 and 500 animal communications a year on top of teaching how to gentle foals, mustangs, relationship building, life coaching with the horsemanship. And we do certification courses in horse whispering at a trainer level as well as an instructor level. So there's an awful lot that we do with reach out to horses. And so the animal communication consultations are part of what I do, but certainly are not overshadowing the horse whispering and the certification courses.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you about Monty Roberts. Does he communicate with horses in the same way? Does he do animal communication?
Monty's well known for the body language. Mm-hmm. And since he really launched his career in the 90s, he goes out and shows how horses communicate through body language. And so that's his focus. I'm sure if he truly got into the animal communication, it can be challenging. Not all the doors would open, because you're looking at tradition moving forward into horse whispering, and then the next step would be the animal communication. So in my experience with him, it's all been body language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not a common practice, really.
You know, Paula, I don't actually know any other horse person that's truly incorporating animal communication to the level we're talking about here today. There will be horsemen that are absolutely incorporating visualization techniques, be that so that the muscles reflect what you're seeing, or be that your energy shifts when you visualize. There, as far as I know, nobody that's taking it to the point where we're looking at behavior modification through telepathy, animals in transition, communicating with those on the other side, or in fact supporting and detecting pain issues in animals. As a behaviorist and animal communicator, I've not seen the combination at all.
What would you suggest that horse owners do, or even dog and cat owners do, to help improve their relationship with their pets and partners?
In a few words, the answer would be learn to listen. That would be your few words, because if you are not hearing and you're not listening, you certainly cannot respond. And if you're too busy in your mind, you won't even receive. So a lot of the communication with animals will be about quietening your mind, quietening the lifestyle, acknowledging what the animals are trying to say in the minute way through body language or otherwise energetic connection through a catch of your eye. It's about learning to read them, and it's about improving their lifestyles. So to realize that really animals mean no harm, that they could be misguided or they're in pain, and they need the boundaries to a point, they need the support, the guidance, the love, the affection, the time together, and all of that can only be received if you're willing to see them, in my opinion, as equal. I have a wonderful quote on my website, and it says, "Trust no man in whose eyes you are not reflected as an equal."
Yes, yes.
And it's a beautiful quote. And it's one of those things that if you see them as lesser beings and you believe they're incapable of having emotions or incapable of reasoning, and they are livestock, you're going to see them in a very different way. In fact, you're going to see that it's acceptable to euthanize over 1 million dogs and cats a year and 80,000 horses here in the United States. Well, is that acceptable? Or are we just looking at getting rid of them, as another way to say it? So there's a responsibility with our animals, and it can be responsible breeding, responsible guardianship. And if we start to shift our mindset from the fact that they are not livestock or they don't have emotions to realizing that they do, that they are in our lives for a very good reason, that they truly are equal to us, and when they come to us, it's our responsibility to support them and take care of them, we shift the way we see them. And a lot of the education on animal communication is exactly that. When people realize that an animal on the other side can tell the legal guardian, a horse can tell the legal guardian, "It saddens me that I passed early. I wanted you to be able to ride on my back on the beach for your wedding." That's a huge statement when nobody else knows that but the person that's receiving the message. You receive these messages even here, where they may say your next house move could be a detriment to you, and we want to make sure you're going to be okay. Or they can say, "I don't like how your lover is treating you. You deserve better." And when I say the word "say," I mean through the images. Some people will hear the voices. But in my experience, when you hear different voices, so if you could really change the accent or you would hear a different voice, that's imagination. So it's not a given that everything that you receive is animal communication. You've got to learn to decipher the difference. And up until the moment of not knowing animal communication, people have had imagination. They've seen an animal, they've had a dialogue in their head, or they've had that projection that a memory pops into the head that they go, "Okay, when I was six, I was bitten by a dog this size, so he must be aggressive." These are all beliefs. These are memories. This is imagination, something you've seen on TV, not animal communication. So we want to be clear, and we want to be sure that we're actually connecting with the right animal, because there's millions out there, belonging to the right person, so united with the right person, and that it's not just our minds playing games with us. So, yeah, it takes a while to learn this art. It takes a while.
Yes, I'm thinking that, a lot of times people will think that that's what the animal is communicating to them, and that's really their mind. And I've been aware of that, really trying to decipher between the two. You know, is it me? And I mean, I guess that would be probably the greatest criticism of animal communication, and would be that who's speaking? You know, is it your mind or is it the animal? And I guess, like you say, it's just a lot of experience and trying to really step back. I don't know how you figure it out.
Stepping out of your own way. And one way it's challenging to figure it out is if it's your own animals, because you know them inside and out, and mm-hmm. you've lived it and breathed the air that they breathe, and you're so connected to them. It's very, very difficult to know if it's your own animal. You're also attached to them, attached to the outcome. So most animal communicators can only take it to a certain level with their own animals. Of course, could we prepare them to take them to the vet, or can we support them and tell them how long we're going to be gone for? Absolutely. But to discover that depth of, is this a reflection of something I'm doing, or is this a pain that needs to be examined? Those would be challenges, because you're going to be watching the behavior. And so one way to discover whether or not it's you know, your mind, is to practice on other people's animals. That's the way. Because when you practice on somebody else's animal, so for example, if people were to connect with an animal here of mine, and we're in a class type situation, I know the answers. I know all of the answers. I know them really well, or most of the answers, right? So when they come up with a piece of information, I can validate it. Now, that's the way to learn, is to learn with other people's animals that are willing. But the concern you run into there, people will hear the information and they also believe it. So one has to be very cautious, because somebody who wants to believe will believe whatever they're hearing. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be mindful of the fact that often the people on the receiving end can be quite vulnerable. So we need to make sure that we've got a lot of validations and it's not generic. See, generic would be your cat or your dog loves you. People will love to hear that. But let's figure out how they show the love. When they show that, then we know we've connected. Because dogs will show it many different ways. They may want to lie by your feet at bed time. They may be your shadow. They may be lickers. They could jump up and lick. It may be that they just come with you everywhere in the car, or they support your parents or your grandparents. And there's ways that they will express the love, you know, going on a walk, wagging the tail, and the connection. So it's important to identify the expression of that love. And it's the identification that becomes the validation.
Well, to me, it doesn't seem that in this lifetime I'll really know, you know, because again, it's really, you know, who's to say whether that's my voice or theirs, you know. Again, I think more of the, as you say, the sort of spontaneous whatever that pops into your mind has been more, and I think that's not just, I think it's true for all species, including humans. It's the, you know, the intuitive connection that we have with everything that's living. Yeah. And I trust that more than I do if I'm just trying to figure out what the animal is trying to communicate. You know, is that me or is that them? You know, what do they want?
That's just practice. And as with learning any language, you can learn a certain amount from a book. So you could learn a certain amount from a book, a DVD, a webinar. But it is not until you put it in practice and then on top of that have a personal coach who's been there, done it, knows how to get through the obstacle, that you then really hone in that skill. So it's one thing to speak a language, it's another to be a translator. So mm-hmm. you learn a language and then you learn to be a translator. And the same with this. You know, first off, you learn to speak to animals, then you learn to become a professional, and then you learn to become a teacher. And the mileage is with any other profession, you're looking at thousands of hours, years of experience before you step out there to say, I can do this. And from the bottom of my heart, I know this is real, and the information I'm giving will be backed up by other professionals. And that's where you step out at the end of the day to give a voice to the voiceless, because mm-hmm. there's nothing more special than being able to give their perspective of a situation, their perspective of how they're feeling physically, if they believe it's the correct time to pass over. It's their perspective, nobody else's. Nobody's intervening, nobody's projecting, nobody's doing anything. It's their perspective of what's happening. That is invaluable. It's priceless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, it's rare.
Well, it's one of those things. Is it rare for those people that come to me and learn it? No, it's not. You know, you have a class of 20 students. Pretty much everybody will connect with the animals in that weekend. Out of that, a ton of them will be gifted at it. No, it's not that rare.
Well, no.
It's rare for somebody to pursue it as a career, maybe, but not necessarily to connect. Everybody can connect, even the skeptics. Now, the skeptics will come to a class, and the skeptics will not stand in their way as much as somebody who really wants it desperately.
Mm-hmm. But what I guess I'm saying is rare is the ability to know the difference. You know, like you said before, do you know if it's your mind or actually the animal communicating? And you need the coach to help you.
Yeah,
and that's the part
absolutely.
I'm just trying to clarify this. That's what I'm saying is rare. You know, you don't come across coaches. And again, you know, people, I know that animal owners would love to be able to, you know, communicate, and they feel that they've lived with the animal, and I do understand that if you are close to the animal, you're better off to try with other people's animals and see if something should happen. You know, you're getting a good message, but I think most people would really like to be able to communicate, and most people are rethinking the term.
Yeah.
Pet, they're rethinking the term of their relationship. I mean, horse people are thinking about partnering with the horse instead of being the master, you know, or trying to be the master. How's that?
Totally. There's a movement. There's definitely a movement forward. And even in the last 2 decades, the shift in the way horses are being seen has had a great evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this country alone, we're certainly moving forward, but there's even then we're backwards. If we look at the quantity of animals that are being euthanized, there's huge progress to be made. But when we look at other countries, we are far ahead. And yes, if we can do as little as sharing that animals are sentient beings, as little as that, to as much as delivering the messages from the animals and realizing that everybody has this gift, we're doing really well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is there something that you would, or a book or some advice that you would give listeners if they are interested in pursuing this, like, or trying, not pursuing it as a career, but just trying to become more attuned?
Yeah, we launched webinars, Paula, and the first webinar I launched was called Animal Communication, the Real Deal. For exactly this, I went out and I started to lecture, and people would say, well, is this just a mask? Is this a charlatan? You know, that was a big one. So I put Animal Communication, the Real Deal, and I went on the road with it. And we created a webinar, and we launched that, and it's a disc set available on our website. And I never quite knew how much information I'd be able to speak on. And so that particular disc set involved the categories of animal communication, which means general live and long distance, physical aspects and ailments, behavior modification and issues, death and dying, and lost animals. Whole piece on it. Well, the following year, the next theme that I saw was it was just a belief away. What would happen is people would have belief patterns that they say, I believe when we die, this is the end of it. Or I believe that you shouldn't talk to animals on the other side. Or I believe that only the gifted few can do this. And I thought, you know, that's the second webinar. It's called Animal Communication, Just a Belief Away. And we launched another one, another 15 hours worth. And the third one, I realize that this is a journey of self-discovery. It's about you. It's about you learning the language. It's about your self-discovery on going on a healing journey and uncovering this to see all the messages. So we entitled it Animal Communication, The Journey of Self-Discovery. Another 15 hours worth. So this time, the fourth season, we're launching a fourth one. It's Animal Communication, Awakening or Reawakening Your Inner Voice. for that exactly reason, because people believe that others have it but not themselves. So how do we reawaken it? So ultimately, we have 60 hours worth of information. One of them's on a disc set. The others are following. It's just that life is a little busy and we're working on the projects, but there will be in total 4 disc sets. The reason I went that route, because I haven't had time to read in the last 20 years. My life is exceedingly busy, and I'm all for the animals, you know, all for the animals, be it my horses, my animals, or going on the road traveling, and I'm not sitting down. So I decided we wanted to create DVDs and CDs, and the CD can be popped in when you're driving, cross country, etc., or you can pop it in at home and listen to it, and it's easy, and you can do other things, or play it on your computer. And so we develop those rather than a book at this time. And we've also launched a DVD on animal communication, and it's the White Stallion Ranch Experience. And it's a beautiful, beautiful DVD, great, great scenery, full of exercises, what people can do at home. And so all together, we've got this whole section on animal communication together with meditation downloads. So by the end of 2015, we will have it as a workbook study. And in 2016, we're going to launch like an inner circle availability for people to truly examine, study, and look at every single webinar with us over like a 3-month period. And so what we have webinars each year, and it's a 6-week webinar. This is the 4th one. We have some guest speakers, so we hone in on very, very specific topics like animals in rescue situations or animals as healers, as they're in equine facilitated learning or life coaching. We have shamanism, young living oils. We have supplements for self and for the animals. So there's tons and tons of topics. How to connect to your inner voice, how to receive information, how to pass information along to the animals, how to overcome the obstacles, connections, you name it. It's all in our webinars. And the last one this year will truly be the 60th hour. And I believe that that is the way to learn. So yes, a book is good, but 60 hours of information and listening to it time and time again and watching the DVD and immersing yourselves and having an opportunity to ask the questions and get the answers live, that's just special. And I think that will propel everybody forward. So, you know, for me, it is about coming to our website, Paula, and I believe we have the answers there.
Well, great. That's super. Because you're right. I do think a book is limited. There are different ways of learning. Everyone has a different learning style. And I think the visual and audio, of course, are very important. So all of this is available on your website, which is, you can give us your URL.
Absolutely. It's reachouttohorses.com. And don't be put off with the fact it says horses, but it's all one word, reachouttohorses.com. And we do have the online shopping. And so there's a lot of information to help, like pendulums. I'll tell you, just on a side note, we designed the animal totems. And it's all about animal communication because you can draw the medicine into your life. And so what I found is I couldn't find any animal totem pendulums. And I really wanted people to be able to work with the essence of the animal. And so they're designed in California, and we have pendulums such as turtle, owl, wolf, dog, panther, horse, dragonfly, dolphin, tons of pendulums that can support them with their animal communication. So what we have is for the amateurs through to the professionals. Something that can touch anybody that wants to improve on the language of love. It's a great resource. And I've also got the Reiki for Horses DVD. It's about taking energy healing to the animals. For me, this is all one and the same. It's all animal communication, and it's all on the website.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is great. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for this time and in your time. And I really appreciate the information. And hopefully it'll help us all move forward in this world to have better relationships with our animals and each other.
Thank you for for being a part of it, Paula. It means an awful lot to me, because together we can spread the word, and it's about sharing it. And as it's come forth today, not everybody believes it's either possible or believes that they can do it. And if I can do it, if I can do it and come from a background of skepticism and cynicism, if I can do this, truly anybody can. And what's needed is the open mind, the open heart, the commitment, and you will reach what you think is unimaginable at this time.
Yes, that's wonderful. All right, well, thank you, and I'll say goodbye then.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Anna Twinney. She certainly gives us encouraging words and helps us to imagine that we too can learn to communicate with our animals, which I think is really important. It's Paula Slater signing off for Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. We'll see you next week. Bye.